Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Ancient Warfare Answers. This, I believe, is episode 161, and we're going to be answering a question from Alex from Patreon today, which is, how much did luck play a role in ancient combat? Theoretically, luck would be a major, more of a factor in the Gunpowder Age, but I can't imagine worse luck than being a Roman at Cannae. Low chance of survival, no matter your martial skill. Now, of course, Alex is from Patreon, and you too could support the Ancient Warfare Answers podcast if you go on to Patreon and support us. You can get a copy of the magazine, and you can ask us a question, which we can hopefully try and answer on this very podcast. You'll note that Jasper is away, so I am answering and asking. So, this question of luck. Well, on the one hand, you can't really emphasize the role of luck enough, that luck in ancient warfare is recognized as a trait, a personality trait. Obviously, Sulla Felix, Lucky Sulla, is one of the most famous examples of someone who emphasized their own luck. But there are others as well who, you know, all the way through to the late Roman Empire, who are regarded as unlucky. Julian, the Emperor Julian, for instance, is another who's regarded as unlucky. So there are aspects of ancient warfare where it is down to chance, and obviously in a lot of the texts they will talk about propitiating the gods and making sure you get your sacrifices in order and say the correct things. And there are obviously examples, like in the First Punic War, throwing the chickens overboard, that are regarded as a kind of a combination of lack of appropriate propitiation of the gods slash bad luck. And so, you know, the idea of the envy of the gods is present in Roman triumphs, for instance, and that idea that you have with Julius Caesar, and that the soldiers' marching songs about their generals be quite abusive, you know, essentially roasting them as a way of mitigating the idea that if they are too successful or too lucky, that the gods will be envious and destroy them or have them be unlucky next time round. So there's all of that going on in the background of ancient warfare on a general scale. And of course, in ancient warfare, in terms of fighting ancient battles, you've got lucky characters in the sense that they survive, but you've also got lucky generals in the sense that they are in the right place at the right time and that they, you know, happen to perform the right tactic at the right moment. And some of that comes down to bravado, some of it comes down to luck, and some of it comes down to some other kind of indescribable combination of skill, right place, right time, someone's looking after you, all of those in sort of indefinable aspects of warfare. And certainly when you're reading the anecdotes of individual prowess within a battle account, it's remarkable to read that someone survived, but yet they seem to have, in a lot of cases. You know, I'm thinking about Philip Homan at the Battle of Salacia, who gets his thighs pinned together by a javelin. I mean, that's a drastic wound under any circumstances, even in modern medicine. But, you know, he fights on and survives that battle and goes on to have another 40-year career. So that's happening. When you read the Iliad, I'm thinking of something like Pandarus shooting Menelaus with an arrow. The gods are intervening in that whole action, and sort of in lots of places in the Iliad and other poems, the gods are intervening to make a strike lucky or to find a weak spot, you know. So those things are all tied up with sort of that. How do you define luck? How do you realize that you missed a fatal blow or made a fatal blow? And it can be sort of determined in those ways. And all the way down to breaking up battle tactics and saying, is this a lucky escape or is this a lucky victory? And, you know, for instance, at the Battle of Cannae, for me, it's absolutely a piece of tactical genius that Hannibal pulls off at the Battle of Cannae. And the warning signs are on the wall for the Romans from the beginning of his invasion, at the battles of Ticinus, at the Battle of Trebia and Lake Trasimene. You know, they sort of culminate in Cannae. But in a way, what Hannibal was planning also involves luck, because he's got this formation with his veterans on the edges of his phalanx, and the center is weakened with his Gallic and Celtic and Spanish mercenaries. The Romans push forward and those units are pushed back. Now, if the Romans kept going forward, presumably they would have broken through that thinner line of mercenaries and essentially have broken the line of the Carthaginians, which is a disaster in ancient warfare in almost any terms. And yet they don't. And Hannibal is able to pull off, you know, the greatest double envelopment in the history of warfare. And we study it to this day. But there are certain things that could have changed in that battle that would have meant that outcome was completely different. The Battle of Marathon, you've got a Greek phalanx facing the Persians for the first time. And even though we don't accept the numbers today, so for instance, we traditionally, you would get 10,000 Athenians, 1,000 Plataeans. Those numbers come from Cornelius Nepos, by the way, if you've ever tried to find them. No one else mentions any numbers up until Cornelius Nepos in the Roman Empire. And they are fighting against 60,000 Persians. Now, no one accepts those numbers today. You know, you're not going to fight a battle at 6-1 outnumbered. That's not luck. That's crazy. But we today bring that number down to 20,000. So it's 2-1. It's still bad odds to start a battle. But the Athenians run, and that's the main point of Herodotus's account, is the idea that they run at the Persians, and they're the first enemy to run at the Persians and not know fear. And so is it luck that they devise this tactic, or is it Miltiades being nousful, that's a good word, and coming up with a strategy to defeat the archery of the Persians? And then when they get face to face with the Persians, they are superior. And yet at the same time, just to contradict myself, you know, Herodotus's account of the battle seems to tell us that the wings, which are strong, and according to his account, are victorious, and the center of the Athenian line, which is weaker, is broken by the Persians. Now, having just said that breaking a phalanx is a disaster, what you have at the Battle of Marathon somehow is a determination by the Athenians that they keep pressing forward even when their line is broken. Now, in normal circumstances in ancient battle, when your line is broken, the battle is over. So is it luck? You know, yes, it is. It could have easily gone another way. You know, we have several battles where panic sets in. Is that a matter of luck, or is it esprit de corps, or is it leadership? And I think it's a combination of all those things, and probably luck is the hardest of those things to define. You know, we have all sorts of evidence where people are trying to get good luck to ward off bad luck. You know, there's so many devices in ancient warfare and in ancient art which were designed to ward off bad luck. The Gorgon on the shield, or the eyes to you know, ward off bad luck, that are painted on Greek ships and on Greek shield designs. So there's luck is everywhere in ancient warfare, both the good and the bad, and the trying to get some and trying to keep the bad stuff away. So in a way, you can't emphasize luck enough, but then that makes studying ancient warfare, if you're just going to say that it's all down to luck, very dissatisfying. So it's up to a lot of other factors too, but luck is very much in the mix.